This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, and this is already, I know it, my favorite story of the week because it is about ASEAN hosting the 2034 World Cup. So talks of this kicked off at the 34th ASEAN Summit, where all 10 member countries agreed to launch a joint bid to host the FIFA World Cup.
FAM, or the Football Association of Malaysia, said they have yet to start talks with the government on the bid. President Dato' Hamidin Amin said they would first discuss it at a Congress on July 13 before committing themselves to the plan.
So Hamidin said that there's several issues here. So from 2026, there will be 8 slots plus 1 reserved for the host for Asia. And that's a problem because ASEAN is, of course, made up of 10 countries. And then we're not looking at other Asian countries yet, like Japan and South Korea. So when it comes to that guaranteed slot to play in the World Cup, well, what are we actually talking about in terms of what's available, right?
And we're also facing competition from China, who wants to make a bid for the 2030 World Cup. The rotation policy could see this bid pushed back another 4 years. And if they don't make it in 2030, they're going to try again in 2034.
So to be fair, as FAM has indicated, we're not really that far along on the bid yet. You know, it's something that I think, while ASEAN has said that it's going to do, the individual countries now really have to go back and sort out and really look at it in terms of feasibility, because there are so many things to talk about. I think we should probably lay out our different competing interests here, because I am a huge football fan. I love sports. I love live sports. And so while the rational part of me is like, come on, look at the region. Who are you kidding? The irrational, super excited child in me is like, World Cup, it's going to come. It's going to come here.
And you can finally go.
Yeah, exactly. And so not only will I finally be able to attend without having to, you know, saw off my arm and sell my house, it's also that I'll actually be able to just experience that atmosphere in my home country, within the region. It's so easy to just travel around.
And the anticipation to it, right? Watching stadiums get built, infrastructure get built for the World Cup.
So all those things make, like I said, the irrational sports fan in me just delighted to no end. And then we have Kelvin.
This is a terrible idea. This is awful. You know, it doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make economic sense. It's such an expensive event to try to sponsor.
It's not about sense is where I'm coming from. Although
it is about sense, though.
Look at you, so pleased with yourself. I mean, I take the point. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about that this hour. There's so many ways and angles to discuss with this. We're going to be hearing from two different people. Our guests will include Motuza, who's the lead researcher for social cultural affairs at the ASEAN Study Center of ICES Yusof Ishak Institute, to talk about, well, with all these competing interests, with all these different levels of infrastructure here in ASEAN itself, what are we going to do? How are we going to resolve all that? And then we're also going to be speaking with our resident football pundit, Ross Yusof, for his take on the matter. So that will be coming your way throughout the hour. But I guess we also want to hear from you. Would you like to see an ASEAN World Cup bid? Are you hopeful that it will happen? And for that matter, would you support an ASEAN team? So if, for example, we had to take that one slot as hosts and we all kind of just have to choose to field a team made up of ASEAN players, you know, is that something that you think you could get behind?
And what configuration would you like to see preferably? Or would you be okay if, say, Team Thailand represented the whole of ASEAN in the World Cup?
Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. About the World Cup itself, right, coming here, I think that there is something to be said. I mean, and we'll get into this about what happens in other countries, which we have seen, right? People, for example, in Brazil, which was not at all in the best financial state when it was due to host the World Cup. And it had enough existing infrastructure, being a relatively large country, being a country that loves football. But you always have these issues of building all these stadiums and then asking yourself what's going to happen to them after, right? Because everybody benefits from things like public transport. But with stadiums, it's quite a different thing entirely.
Yeah, so Brazil and Russia, the last two countries that hosted the World Cup, both spent each spent about $10 billion. So in this case, if let's say ASEAN were to host it, we would have to, you know, just if we divided it equally, each country would have to contribute about $1 billion each. I'm not sure if we can afford that amount.
And I don't think it's going to be split equally.
No.
Yeah, because that's really, that doesn't make sense for us in terms of the relative size of different countries, the relative size of different countries' economies either.
Yeah, if you look at countries like Laos, if you look at countries like Myanmar, I'm not sure if they are able to meet that amount yet.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be the same as asking Singapore, for example, to put that same amount of money. So we're talking about the ASEAN World Cup bid, a little bit pie in the sky at the moment, but we do want to hear from you. Do you think, like me, that there is some joy to be had in this, that there is some part of it that is a good idea? Or are you like Kelvin and you just think this idea is hot trash? You can call us
I didn't say that.
7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be back after this to speak with Mo Tuza, who is the lead researcher for social cultural affairs at the ASEAN Study Centre of ICES Yusuf Ishak Institute. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:13 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about the ASEAN World Cup bid, and we want to hear from you. Do you think that this is a good idea, or do you think that, no, we can't afford it, do not do it? Either way, we want to hear from you. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we will get to all those messages and calls after this, because in the meantime, we're speaking with Mo Tuza, who is the lead researcher for social-cultural affairs at the ASEAN Study Centre at the ICES Yusof Ishak Institute. Mo, thanks for joining us. So the decision to host the World Cup was made during the recent ASEAN Summit, but since then, the Thai FA have asked the government to clarify their stance regarding this. The Malaysian FA have yet to start talks with the government. Was this plan developed in consultation with stakeholders? And, you know, who asked for this?
Right. For this, I think we have to go a little back into recent history, because it's not exactly a new idea. It was mooted in 2011. And interestingly enough, when it was mooted, it was also done like in consultation between the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Malaysia, the National Sports Council of Malaysia, and the ASEAN Secretariat. And this was ASEAN's proposal, which had been an outcome of a discussion of the foreign ministers in 2011. And Malaysia and the ASEAN Secretariat were tasked or mandated to study and explore this proposal to bid for the FIFA World Cup in 2030. And so the ASEAN Football Federation was notified of that, and they are therefore in knowledge of it, and they welcomed it. And so it's something that's been around since almost 10 years ago, so to speak. And it was also in anticipation of this new ASEAN ministerial body that was established later in 2011, the ASEAN Ministerial Meeting on Sports. So I would say that, you know, it's not an entirely new idea, but it's also something that the ASEAN member states recognize as requiring multi-sectoral coordination. And Malaysia has kind of like been in it from day one, so to speak.
How ready is ASEAN to organize a World Cup in terms of infrastructure and facilities?
Well, it's quite interesting, because ASEAN's varying levels of development also have a function here in that sense. So for me, personally speaking, the ASEAN five countries may be in a better position in terms of infrastructure and facilities, mainly because they have been longer in the game, if I may use that phrase, in terms of preparing for hosting regional meetings on sports or broader sports events and so on, as well as the kind of infrastructure and facilities that are needed for, say, Commonwealth Games, and even the ASEAN summits. So once it falls upon, your country to host this kind of regional sports event, or a sports event that basically involves multi-country participation, there is an element of preparation and a gearing up of infrastructure and facilities involved. But of course, having said all that, I do recognize that hosting the World Cup is different from hosting, say, Southeast Asian Games or even ASEAN Summits.
Right. And as Kelvin said earlier, previous hosts have spent more than $10 billion to organize this. And it's been reported that Qatar, for example, has spent $200 billion. How would the funding of this event work between ASEAN countries?
Okay, I'm extrapolating a bit here because I'm as hazy on the details at this point in time. But I do know about ASEAN's cost-sharing commitment, which means in ASEAN that the organizing cost is borne by the host and organizing country, and the cost of participation is borne by each of the participating member states. But this is not just an ASEAN event that one country hosts and organizes where the other countries come in to participate. It's ASEAN, the 10 countries, essentially committing or agreeing to host a very significant world event together. So here, in this context, the cost-sharing commitment in ASEAN might translate into each member state shouldering the cost of organizing each of the matches in-country. But at this point in time, what is the number of matches that each of the countries can shoulder the cost? And also, to what extent hosting these matches and the playoffs and all of those things would require additional organization and preparation. I mean, I think these are the details that need to be worked out because the question of where will be the specific venue of the different World Cup matches will come into play, as well as, again, the important question of which country, which venue will be hosting the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the final matches, which are, of course, you know, where most of the world's attention will be focused on. So it's also a matter of the capacity of each of the countries in terms of bearing the cost of these important events when we talk about funding the event. So there is the cost-sharing agreement in ASEAN. There is a cost-sharing arrangement that ASEAN countries are familiar with. But it's not just sharing the cost, but it's also the different levels of responsibility and the attendant costs of those responsibilities.
Looking at Qatar, preparing for the World Cup has led to the mistreatment of migrant workers who build infrastructure and stadiums. How strong are current mechanisms to protect migrant workers in labour-receiving countries in ASEAN? Could it create diplomatic tensions between ASEAN countries that send and receive labour?
For this point, I think there is this important recognition that commitments in ASEAN are regional, but the implementation is national. So in the context of migrant worker protection and all of that, of course, we have the ASEAN consensus on the promotion and protection of the rights of migrant workers, and that's been adopted since 2017. But the ASEAN consensus's implementation, or the implementation of these provisions in the ASEAN consensus, are still largely a national responsibility. So it really depends on what are the domestic legislations or the procedures in the labor-receiving countries regarding the treatment of migrant workers. But it's not just the regional agreements. Usually the implementation of the regional agreements and commitments is done through a patchwork of bilateral arrangements and agreements. So ASEAN countries will always have recourse to the kind of bilateral agreements and memoranda of understandings that they have worked out between each other for the specific manpower needs of each country and what the labor sending countries can supply, so to speak. So if I apply the ASEAN way here, I think the issues can be sorted out or worked out bilaterally, but of course it has to be done in the spirit of being fellow ASEAN members.
Right. And we see this all over the world where we have white elephants in the form of just empty, rotting stadiums being left behind following major sporting events. How will ASEAN deal with this?
I think the concern here, of course, is that, you know, you you build your stadiums, you upgrade your stadiums, and then you provide more of the sports training facilities and so on, and also try to provide for those kind of accommodation and logistics infrastructures that are necessary. And usually after significant world sporting events, what happens to these, as you mentioned, they become white elephants in some cases. So concurrent or concomitant with preparing the infrastructure and the facilities for the World Cup or for major sporting events, I think it's also important in the context of ASEAN that we need to have a long-lasting sports legacy and, of course, an active sports culture in each of the ASEAN countries. So the ASEAN Ministerial Meeting on Sports has been established since 2011, and with this interest for ASEAN to make its mark on the World Cup scene, then one can only hope that this kind of a long-lasting sports legacy and an active sports culture remains in each country.
ASEAN countries have had experience hosting sporting events such as the SEA Games and the Commonwealth Games. What lessons have they learned which they can bring into preparations for the World Cup?
Well, basically, because they're not starting from scratch, I would assume that they know what's what. They know what are the basics in preparing for such important sporting events. And because they've gone through the whole experience of organizing these events, I think the various lessons that have been learned in terms of what have been the transport and logistics gaps, for example, or where the gaps are or where the learning curves were, so to speak, even in terms of accommodation and catering for the athletes and, of course, the numbers of fans and supporters who will be traveling to all these sports venues to cheer their team on. So I think these are all these experiences from the previous events such as the SEA Games or the Commonwealth Games that I think the ASEAN countries can build on and essentially learn from the lessons of the past.
Mo, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Mo Duzar, Lead Researcher for Sociocultural Affairs at the ASEAN Studies Centre at the IC's Yusof Ishak Institute. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. What do you make of the ASEAN World Cup bid? Do you welcome it? And also, if we were to field a team from ASEAN, how? How are we going to do that? How is it going to work? How would you like to see it work? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And also just to say, we are going to be speaking with Ross Yusof, he of On the Ball, Off the Ball fame.
And now Grandstand.
Yes, that's right. For his thoughts. So that will be coming your way after the 6:30 news. In the meantime, though, we also have Karamjit on the line. Karamjit, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hey, hi. Hi, guys. Firstly, let me just say I was very, very surprised to hear Lee Chui Lin is actually a football fan.
What right? Surprised?
Well, I mean, you don't come across as the type of, well, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but let's just put it this way. You don't come across as a type, all right? But we'll get back to that. In terms of the joint World Cup bid, yeah, I'm fully in favor of it, simply because there are obviously a bunch of people in this region who probably haven't really got a chance to witness the World Cup live. We know that it's basically been held in Europe, in South America, in the US, of course, and of course there was the World Cup here in Asia in 2002. But I feel that you open up a whole, you're opening up to a whole a new audience if you basically organize it in the ASEAN region. Now, how they would organize it, I would say it's a merit system. You know, you basically you have FIFA rankings as it is. All right, you can use the FIFA rankings to basically choose maybe the best teams in this region, and from those teams select the best players. All right, and that's one way you can go. You know, and of course there's the issue of which country would organize the final, the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
But I think these are just details we can work out. ASEAN has made some pretty impressive decisions in the past about, you know, security in the region. I'm sure they can handle a World Cup event. You know.
Are you at all right? Worried though about the idea of you know, really large capacity football stadiums potentially not being used after something like the World Cup?
Right, yeah, that's another thing I want to address, right? Okay, I understand. I think Keith mentioned it earlier about Brazil and, you know, a lot of white elephants there, with reference to the stadiums now actually being left empty and unused, especially since they actually destroyed a large, well, a bit of the rainforest to actually build some of those stadiums. But I don't think it's a problem here in ASEAN. Firstly, because you are basically organizing them in 10 countries. There's a possibility of organizing in 10 different countries. And I'm sure these countries would at least have one stadium in existence that is huge, right? If not, I know, for example, Singapore's national stadium is just, newly opened. I'm sure it's ready to host at least two or three of these matches. You have our national stadium here in Malaysia. Thailand has a bunch over there. So we don't actually have to build new stadiums per se. We basically can refurbish or maybe upgrade the existing facilities and maybe some infrastructure, because I know about the traffic situations in some countries here in this region. And of course, the communications part has to be upgraded. But other than that, you're not really spending that much money in the first place. And the benefits are basically there for everyone to see, if it's organized well.
Karimjit, thank you so much for calling and for sharing those thoughts. You can, like we said, keep it coming. 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us also is Arun. Arun, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Well, cost aside, I think we also have to look into that Israel issue. Because recently we have cancelled a swimming event. Mm. So, assuming that Israel qualifies, then how is that going to be a problem if, let's say, FIFA were to impose certain conditions that everyone should be fairly represented? Then how is that going to fit into our planning and with ASEAN as a whole? Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Arun. And I guess here, I mean, totally take the point. Mm. However, Israel has ties with other member countries in ASEAN. So while there might be difficulties with some of it, and I'm sure that it might cause certain levels of tension, I think within ASEAN itself, that's not to say that Israel is entirely devoid of diplomatic ties within the region. And therefore, I mean, it would be incredibly awkward and terrible, and we'd come off not well if we decided to pull the same move that we did with, what happened with the Special Olympics. But perhaps it would be, for example, that the group that Israel is in doesn't play in Malaysia.
Though if they do somehow manage to get to a game in Malaysia, I wonder how that'll work out. If the government does make an exemption this time, politically it wouldn't look too great, because look, if you're willing to allow them to play in this game, what about those that happened in the past? Are you going to reopen those cases, for example?
Absolutely. I mean, Arun, you raise a very good and very sticky point. It is something that we would have to consider. We are getting tons of WhatsApp messages. People have strong feelings about this. Kamal just says, woke up, no way, Jose. Faisal says, we should look at our country's economic performance within the next 10 years before making the bid. The economics of it, I think, is going to be an interesting one to try and untangle, because we are not really made equal here in ASEAN.
No.
Keep those thoughts coming. Call us 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
6:35 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about the World Cup, you guys, and how ASEAN might be making a bid for hosting it in 2034. And okay, so just to reiterate, I know in my brain that it's not the best idea, but my heart is just like, yes, live football, yes, World Cup. And so I'm kind of weirdly all for it. Kelvin, on the other hand.
One of the messages summed it up correctly. No way, Jose.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
It's a crazy amount of money to spend on a one-off event, whereas if those billions and billions of dollars individually for each of these countries could be funneled into developing the sporting industry and developing young athletes.
Sure. Can I just also point out, though, that this is kind of flying car-esque in the sense that, you know, just as you develop the flying car for spillover technology, similarly, when you host something like the World Cup, infrastructure ends up getting built around it. And interest gets built around it. It is an investment in many ways into things outside of, you know, the behemoth that is the World Cup. That things exist.
Well, this isn't, I don't necessarily agree that it's a fair comparison simply because we're not building a giant $10 billion flying car. We're trying to build multiple flying cars, and that is with the involvement of the private sector. In this case, we might be building multiple white elephants, as we've seen in multiple countries with the stadiums that they built for World Cups, for global sporting events, that doesn't end up being used, and it literally deteriorates.
Sure thing, Kelvin. Take your joyless billions and spend them where you want. I
want our young athletes to be happy.
I want the World Cup. call us and let us know what you think. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Steve is saying maybe Malaysia and Singapore can co-host the World Cup. And I am kind of invested in the idea of it being ASEAN, to be honest. I think it's cooler and just nice in terms of us being a block as a region to do it that way.
Yeah, it does do and add great value to us as a block of nations, as we would be seen, I guess, more also on the level of the EU. So this sporting event of this size coming to our shores with ASEAN countries collaborating together to form this, it does show, like, on a level that we are ready to be a world player.
Kalai says, before ASEAN starts dreaming of hosting the World Cup, any one of the ASEAN countries should qualify first by merit to prove that we are worthy of consideration to host this prestigious tournament. And that's fair, I mean, in terms of merit and in terms of also not wanting to embarrass ourselves if we do just get that automatic host qualification. But I would say that qualifying for the World Cup and hosting the World Cup are actually two completely different games. And, you know, they require two completely different sort of skill sets in many ways.
Though it is still very embarrassing if, let's say, you do lose out in the first few qualifying matches, even though you're the host.
Well, yes, but and to be honest, with past World Cups, we have seen the hosting pressure cut both ways. In some cases, you see host countries that you don't expect to do all that well suddenly making it into the semis, for example.
Because the home advantage was just suddenly super strong.
And then you also have the home pressure where people just crumble because it's too much. So it can cut both ways. DMA says the higher ranked team should represent the host. Please don't send a jumbled team of Fandi Ahmad, Azman Adnan, Kiati Soksanamuang. This is a team sport. It's not going to work if they don't play together regularly.
And I think the top ranked one, ASEAN, would be Vietnam at the moment, with Thailand trading in second place.
Subra says it's a great idea. It should bring ASEAN closer together as well as boost tourism and earn income through TV and advertising rights. It could also perhaps be used to leverage and resolve the refugee issue with the Rohingyas. And I guess the idea is that international pressure would be placed on Myanmar, but that hasn't worked in the past.
I appreciate the hopefulness and addressing the point about tourism. In many of the countries that have hosted it, what they found was, I believe they saw some of the museums, for example, in the UK, they found that they had less visitors during the month that the games were held because everyone just wanted to avoid the World Cup crowd.
Call us. Let us know what you think. Do you want to see the World Cup bid being made? Do you want to get it for the 2034 World Cup? Call 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Just taking a look at some messages still coming in before we get to our next guest, Ross Yusuf. We have Darren here, who says, "Ayo, $1 trillion debt hasn't even cleared, and we're talking about joint hosting the World Cup. Really?
I mean, you got to give it to to the ASEAN leaders, especially the Malaysian ones, where we seem to have a lot of hope that perhaps in the coming 10 to 15 years, we'll resolve the debt issue and then be able to invest in the World Cup."
Yeah, a lot of people are pointing out that because there is no small amount of uncertainty attached to our economy at the moment, that it would be better to have some security. It would be better to know a little bit more about where we're headed before we commit to something like this. But I'm going to go back to the argument of investing. This is an investment. You might not think it's worth it, as Kelvin clearly does not, and that's fine, but it is an investment. It is something that is going to see returns in other ways. And to that point, we have this message here from Bing.
World Cup, cool with the idea. However, ASEAN teams are not good enough to play. I'm okay to have no host represented in the World Cup unless the top-ranked ASEAN team in standings is selected. Then I'm also okay with it, just that if it's Singapore, over my dead body.
Vietnam at the moment, Bing, don't worry.
He goes on to say, remember, Malaysia have hosted World Youth Cups before. Same like the other countries within ASEAN, we are prepared to host such an event as ASEAN. We have sufficient stadiums and facilities to host. We have already 80K plus seat capacity stadiums in BKK, Jakarta and KL. White elephants won't be an issue.
So I think here, Bing, I mean, because that's such a variety and variance of countries in ASEAN, we're talking about 10, right? So while it might not be an issue for some countries, I think it certainly will be an issue for others. There are some countries that already have those stadiums. You're absolutely right. There are some countries that already have great train systems, great bus systems, ready to take this influx of folks.
And actually for countries that rely on tourism a lot, we are ready to receive the amount of visitors we are expecting. Malaysia is ready, Singapore is ready, Thailand and Indonesia are also ready.
Yes, and that's not everyone, right? Because we're talking about 10
countries.
I think just different things to consider. Keep those thoughts coming, though. Again, that number to call is 77-332-900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We are talking about the ASEAN World Cup bid for 2034. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:44 in the evening. You're listening to Lynn and Kelvin. And we're talking about the ASEAN bid for the World Cup 2034. We're crossing over now to Ross Yusuf, host of On the Ball, Off the Ball, as well as Grandstand. Ross, thank you for joining us. So I guess, first things first, how do you feel about this? Is it feasible for Malaysia, considering what we know to have happened to our hosting of, for example, the F1 Grand Prix?
Yeah, it's a great idea, but let's face it, let's be realistic about this. No ASEAN country can realistically host the World Cup on its own. The way the World Cup is going at the moment, it will be 48 teams participating, and you're really looking at only the richest nations in the world who can host on its own a 48-team World Cup. I'm thinking probably England, Russia, USA, Australia could probably do it. But as far as an ASEAN country on its own, unlikely. So we're looking at joint bids here. The 2022 World Cup, you had lots of joint bids. You had the Eastern Bloc countries putting in a bid. You had the British Isles talking about putting in a bid. So it's all the other European nations that generally wouldn't qualify for the World Cup through the playoff system, through the qualification system, that would be interested in this. So, joint bids, definitely the way to go.
There are limited slots for each region to qualify for the World Cup. How will this work for the 10 ASEAN countries in relation to other Asian countries?
This is why it's really mind-boggling. Okay, so even if you do expand the World Cup to 48, you're looking... Okay, at the moment, as it stands with a 32-team World Cup, ASEAN gets 4 slots. You're talking 6, including playoffs and all that. So 6 Asian countries can get to the World Cup as it stands. In a 48-team World Cup, you're talking about increasing that to 8 Asian nations. So you look at the Asian powerhouses in football, yeah? You've got Japan, South Korea, and Australia. That's your 3 slots taken there. You add your Middle Eastern powerhouses to that. You add Iran, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Iraq. I'm not even counting Qatar yet. They'll probably be quite good by then. So that's pretty much all your 8 slots gone. And none of them is an ASEAN country. So for it to work, FIFA would literally need to take spots away from... I don't know how they're going to do it. They can take half a spot away from CONCACAF, which is Central America qualification. Maybe have the Suzuki Cup winners to play off against that. We need to make it easier for ASEAN countries to get there. I mean, getting to the World Cup is one thing. An ASEAN country to then play football required at the level as to not get embarrassed in every game. I mean, we've seen Thailand in the Women's World Cup lose 13-0 to the USA. Yep. That's a pretty good yardstick of men's football as well.
Okay, so that is, you know, on the subject of quality. But another thing that we're talking about here, I think, is also the headache that is going to be scheduling. How would that work, the scheduling of matches across 10 countries?
I mean, this is a great idea, 10 countries bidding for the World Cup. Realistically, I can't see how it will work because, let's face it, these 10 countries bidding for the World Cup aren't good enough in football terms to play at the World Cup, right? You're talking about 46 Asian nations in AFC. The highest ranked ASEAN nation is Vietnam. They are 16. Then you've got Thailand at 20th. Malaysia is 35th out of 46. So that gives you a rough idea of the level of football. So you're talking about narrowing it down. Maybe three ASEAN countries could feasibly host the World Cup. At the moment, and maybe work from now to 2023, I would say Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand. You probably throw Singapore in there for the shopping in the airport. they could be the fourth member. But yeah, those three are probably the most developed domestic leagues as well. And that's where it all lies. You need to get your grassroots football up and running properly before you even think about qualifying for a World Cup.
So then what's the current situation with Malaysia's youth football setup? Any chance we can at least go to the knockout stages in 15 years' time?
Do you know our young age groups are actually pretty good? Our under-15s, under-20s, 21s, they're all of a very good standard. It's just that many of them don't actually make it to become professional footballers full-time. So you're out of that pool for selection for the national side. You're probably choosing a different career path. And we've lost loads of good players that way. So we need to get some youth system set up. We need to get our domestic football properly up and running. We need to get proper FCs as opposed to FAs running football. But then you're going into a whole different area there.
Yes, we are. And just taking it back home, I guess, would we gain any sort of advantage from hosting the World Cup?
Absolutely. We absolutely gain a lot of... I mean, you can't... The payoff factor, the amount of footballers we could encourage from watching a World Cup on our own patch, it's, you know, invaluable. Just to give you an example, Euro 2006 was held in England. The whole country was a love-in for about 2-3 weeks. There was no crime. Well, I say no crime. Crime rate apparently dropped by about 36%, if I'm not mistaken, during England's run to the semis. So, that's how good football can be. That's how big football can be. And it will be great for the ASEAN game if we can actually get to host it.
Ross, thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us. That was our very own football pundit, Ross Youssef. You can catch him on Grandstand every Friday at 8 p.m., where he interviews folks involved in a variety of ways in sports. And of course, once the season resumes, Ross will be back every Monday and Friday.
Yep, with On the Ball and Off the Ball.
And we would still like to hear your thoughts. You know, what do you think? Are you into this idea of ASEAN hosting, bidding for the World Cup? 7732900 is the number to call to share your thoughts. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. On Twitter, SK says, since the 80s, there's only been one win in a World Cup, and that is the mafia known as FIFA. Stay away, enjoy it, and let others host it.
That's true. No countries have really earned that much from hosting a World Cup. And
FIFA is problematic.
Yeah, FIFA is problematic. They've hoarded almost of the gains that you get from hosting one.
We have messages continuing to come through. KW saying, are we really that naive thinking that the government would want to host the event when there's no plan to build new infra? How would we make money then?
I think the plan is maybe once we do get the bid, we will hopefully be able to get that amount of money and then begin the infrastructure planning.
And then Prabha says, Budweiser, which is a FIFA sponsor, would not be able, can't be sold in stadiums in Malaysia, Indonesia and Brunei. And that's an interesting point. Like we said, we are talking about a block of countries that have different cultures, different mm-hmm. beliefs. There's a lot of different political nuances going on as well. We are not a homogenous, you know, just chunk of the yeah. world. But I think, again, going back to the mafia that is FIFA, that comment made by SK, it would be worked out.
Yeah, they have a lot of political sway. Even in Qatar right now, World Cup organizers have said that alcohol will be available during the tournament, but only in designated drinking areas.
We have an interesting point here from David who says, you know, would ASEAN be expecting 10 places in the cup? And I think the answer is no. That's kind of ludicrous. But whoever gets the final would have to contribute far more of the budget. Kickoff time is usually set for the European audience, so we would get games at midnight or later.
And we also have to consider our weather, right? Including the fact that we have so much rain that depending on the hour, we also have to consider the sun, for example.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about the monsoon. But because it's happening, it would be happening in the summer or what would be the summer if we were in an equatorial nation, it should be fine. It will just be then the temperature and mm-hmm. how that will rise. We don't get it that bad here, but in other countries, I think the heat wave would be crazy.
Yeah, unimaginable.
We have a caller on the line now, Victor. Victor, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening. This is Lin and Kelvin.
Hello.
I think every Asian footballer, ASEAN footballer, would like the chance of this one day telling their grandchildren that their grandpa once played in the World Cup against Messi. But the question is, I think by hosting the event, I think this can be the only chance that they get to say that. But the question is, should the countries pay for this their privilege? But on a higher level, maybe this is not such a bad idea if this can help to get rid of the concept of a country, which is overrated anyway. So then, I mean, instead of having 10 countries in ASEAN, now, just like EU, we have one country. This as ASEAN, by this hosting the World Cup this way, it may help to this bring along this event, which is worth thinking about.
Victor, thank you so much for calling. And I think that is a larger conversation to be had about the notion of ASEAN identity, because it's one that comes up from time to time. And it's true that we do still think of ourselves in terms of nation, right? In terms of national teams, national players. And if we were to make this bid, and considering how we would have to negotiate for whoever would be the host team, so to speak, it would be an interesting conversation to have to negotiate.
Yeah, sports here has that very strong uniting factor. And whether if we do successfully get that World Cup bid, whether it could unite ASEANs together.
Yes, and we also have Yong on the line. Yong, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening. Aside from what our pundit has mentioned, one, I think, is we have a pressing issue rather than, you know, this event. Another thing is it would be nice also if we could bring back those glory days, you know. Have you heard of personality like So Chin An, Mok Tak Ching? Mm-hmm. You've heard of those?
Yes, yeah. My dad talks about them.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the glory days. Bring it back. You know, like what our pandit also mentioned, the football situation is much to be desired.
Fair enough, Yong. Thank you for calling. And it is kind of a putting the horse before the cart kind of situation, I suppose, to say, we're going to qualify for the World Cup. Now let's work backwards and get a team that will be worthy of playing in the World Cup. And I suppose trying to drum up, it's not that we have a lack of interest in the country.
No.
You know, we are a football-crazed nation. There is no, you know, getting around that at all. But I think as everybody's pointed out, there is definitely that element of are we actually at that level where we have world-class players? And I suppose at this point in time, doesn't look like the answer is yes.
My argument still stands. Just put that $1 billion we might spend on the World Cup into developing football as a sport that we can be proud of, even more so than we are now.
Like I said, logically, I completely agree with you. But my gut is just
yelling, I would, World Cup, World Cup, World Cup.
I like I like it now. I like it at this exact stage when it's a pipe dream. Mm. I don't think I would like it so much once the problems start occurring, once you know, we start seeing construction going around. Once that happens, I'm going to revert to, you know, classic crabby Malaysian and just go, look at all this. What is this?
Once the construction traffic jams begin.
Correct. But right now, when it's still just sort of a pie in the sky, it could happen. Wouldn't it be beautiful? I love it. This is my happy place. LK says, no World Cup, please. It will make the traffic worse in KL. And also says, go away, which is the most direct message. Go away. You'll jam up the place, especially Sri Petaling and Bukit Jalil, that's for sure. So you're not alone there, Kelvin, in your concerns about traffic. John says, yeah, sure. If we build it, the money will come, just like F1. And fair enough. Like I said, pipe dream face. It's the fun part.
I mean, we eventually have to give up the F1 pipe dream. I think it will go to a place where, okay, the immediate returns may seem fantastic, but after that, when we are left with such a giant hole in our pockets, I'm not sure if we'll be so happy anymore.
Which is a point being raised by others too. Kamal is back. Kamal, who earlier said, no way, Jose, to say, well, 15 years from now, Malaysia could be a world beater. So, you know, ASEAN, so too might ASEAN be. You know, the Cricket World Cup is now held in England and Wales, so it's not impossible.
It isn't. And I imagine that, you know, if we were to have the opportunity to properly invest funds into it, to invest in talent, we could get to a place where we can have world-class players.
Keep those messages coming. We want to know two things. Firstly, how do you feel about ASEAN potentially hosting the World Cup in 2034? And then if we do, what does the host team look like? Who should it be? 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:05 in the evening, and we spent all of 6 o'clock talking about the World Cup because why not? Football, always good. But also just the very real logistical concerns surrounding the fact that ASEAN might be joint, kind of
doing a joint bid, yeah.
Yeah, for the 2034 World Cup, and that's all. 10 of us, all 10 of us with our very different economies, socio-political situations, cultural nuances, kind of coming together, trying to make it happen. We've been asking you for your thoughts. Does it make sense? And if we did make it, then what should the host team look like? Because the host team is going to get to play. You can keep those thoughts coming. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have two contrasting thoughts here. First up, this from Husni.
Okay with ASEAN hosting the World Cup, but don't agree with an all-star ASEAN team to represent us. Highest ranking ASEAN countries should represent, for example, Vietnam.
On the other hand, Ubai says, I would love to see each ASEAN country send each of their best player as, you know, Team ASEAN. Financially, also, if we're not required to build additional stadiums, then ASEAN shouldn't worry to host the World Cup.
So it might be a place where we likely just have to upgrade our infrastructure, if anything.
If you mean Malaysia, then yes. But I think other countries might actually have to build, and then that's where the worry would be.
Though that might change if, let's say, the circumstances are 15 years ahead, which is the case right now for the World Cup.
That's true. And then I think we are also coming to questions like size and capacity. You know, so for example, does everybody get to host or must host an equal amount of games? You know, who gets opening ceremony, who gets closing ceremony, finals? Just all these questions will come into play. But as our caller Karamjit, I think, said earlier, maybe that's something to work out if we get the bid, because at this point, it's really just all up in the air. Anonymous says, temporary feel-good factor, pride and tourist dollars will not make up for the ginormous hole in everyone's pocket as a result of it. No to the World Cup. And then this from Adi.
We had F1. We had fans here, not as many as football, the religion of football, of course. But locals just didn't want to pay the premium of the ticket prices. Similarly, World Cup, will locals want to pay? And food for thought, Commonwealth Games was 21 years ago and F1 at Sepang survived only 18 years.
I think the premium is going to be different in this case because it is a once every 4 years thing. And because the...
So that means you can save up for it.
Well, you can save up for it. And also the prices will be different across the board because something that you're paying for the group stages is not going to be the same amount you pay for the semis, not the same amount you pay for the finals. So I think there are going to be options and things for you to choose from should you want to be able to watch the games. And not necessarily kind of like I said, saw off an arm, chew off your toes, sell your house. You know, you're not going to have to do all that necessarily.
Yeah, I'm also hoping that at least if we do host it here, that locals will be able to watch it, because what else really is the point?
Yes, I believe people want to watch it. I think judging from the level of connection that people have been, you know, in level of engagement in terms of the amounts of people sending messages, people calling, there is definitely an interest here. Mm-hmm. And I think even if you are a naysayer, should we get it, you're going to buy the ticket, I think.
I would, because, as a, you know, really,
oh,
because it is
sake, Kelvin.
If it's hosted here anyway, I'm powerless to stop it. So if it's a global event that's held here, might as well go and observe it. Might as well. And then later, just do a before and after picture. During the World Cup, and then take an after picture where it becomes a white elephant.
I didn't know my eyes could hurt from rolling, but it turns out they can.
Good.
This show is teaching me so much. Fez says, there are 10 ASEAN members. It'll definitely not be 10 host teams. Based on previous examples of Japan, the Japan-South Korea World Cup, or Europe, at most two host teams. So the finalists of the AFF Suzuki would make it to the World Cup. If it's only one team, then perhaps a combined ASEAN team will be the one. 8 groups, 8 ASEAN capitals will host. If KL were to host the games, it'll probably involve only Bukit Jalil, so minimal construction work. All in all, not a bad idea. Fully support it.
There are other elements to consider also, with the fact that maybe some nations would have to consider building better public transport infrastructure in countries like Thailand and I believe Indonesia, where traffic congestion is a real concern. There is also a need to invest in that. And we're also talking about investments in security, whether we are ready to accommodate the influx of tourists and to provide the amount of safety to them.
Okay, last couple of messages. Aslin says, host the World Cup. Let's spend the money developing the game instead. Right now, I'm curious to see how our men's national team measure against the Women's World Cup 2019 finalists. And
here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it should be spent in development, but yeah. Ali says, why not, since it's the only chance for us to be in that competition, but we don't need new stadiums with ASEAN and Oceania as the host. And then Jack says, no thanks, I don't want to watch my national team being whipped 10-0 by Brazil.
That would be a very painful experience.
It would. And you know what? Actually, I don't even want to go there. You're right.
Want to imagine it.
It is not fun. Keep those thoughts coming. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.